You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to the Record Celtic podcast. It's a quiet week on the pitch for Ange Postecoglou and his players with no week midweek matches, but there's plenty going on around the club in terms of the transfer window and plenty to discuss. So, without further ado, I'm delighted to say we're joined by the former Celtic striker and Record Sport columnist Chris Sutton and Record Sport's Michael Gannon to go through the various issues surrounding the club at the moment. Lads, how are we today?
I'm very well, thank you. Good to be back on the pod. Good to get the invite and back with you two.
It's good to have you back, Chris. Good to have you back.
Thanks.
Michael?
Morning, chaps. Yeah, all good.
I noticed you didn't join in there, Mick, when Swanee said it's good to have you back.
Well, we're just being polite, let you guys chat away. everyone's got this end. The January Fat Club is well up and running. You'd be glad to hear Swanee. And there's a bag of apples sitting next to me here. So we're all good.
Of course, of course. Always a magnificent sight of January.
Yep.
Things being refreshed, slates being cleared. And something similar inside the building at Celtic Park. Not so much slates being clean, but just changes, tweaks, some movement in the transfer window. We're now edging towards the end of it. Less than a week to go. Chris, Celtic's dealings look as though they may be coming to a close. Entering the building is South Korean striker Hwang Yoo-oh, and it looks as though that may signal the end for Greek international Georgios Chakimakis. Chris, I know you have had a bit to say on that situation in the attacking department in your column in the paper. Where do you stand on the situation with regards to Chakimakis being allowed possibly to go? Obviously, there's interest in Japan, there's interest in America. Celtic now appear to have moved to fill the space if it becomes available. Where do you stand on this?
Where I stand on it, it looks like this deal is done. That's done. I think losing Georgios Chakimakis is a big deal. Ultimately, Celtic want to win the league. That's a really obvious thing to say. I do obvious quite well, but you have to ask yourself with losing Juranovic and then losing Chakimakis, and you can look at this in a couple of different ways, but will Celtic be stronger with Juranovic out the door and Chakimakis out of the door? Johnston's come in and looked pretty steady, but you know will he be up to the level of Juranovic over a sustained period? And with Chakimakis, I know he's played second fiddle a lot to Kyogo, but every time I watch Celtic and he plays, he almost guarantees your goals, Chakimakis. Now, with Hyungu Oh coming in, he will be, it'll be interesting to see how he fits in, whether he can fit in quickly. But it's of paramount importance for Celtic and Ange Postecoglou that he does fit in quickly and hit the ground running, because Chakimakis, I can talk about his goals and we all know what a good goal scorer he is, but it wasn't just about his goals. It was about his physical presence, the way he held the ball in. You look at his performance against Rangers in the big games, always turned up in those games. I think he was pretty much unbeaten against Rangers. You'll probably correct me, I always get something wrong, but in terms of his presence in those games, I think he will be a huge miss. But Ange Postecoglou hasn't got a lot wrong in the transfer market. There must be a reason why he's let him go, whether, he was trouble around the training ground. I don't know. But every time he put on a Celtic jersey, every time he went out on the pitch, he always looked like he was a player who was really motivated to me. So I think Jack and Mackers will be a big loss.
Michael, planning for the future is obviously something that Ange Postecoglou is keen to do. He speaks a lot about moving windows ahead, you know, being one window ahead when he makes his planning. But just for the exact here and now and the remainder of this season, would you tend to agree with Chris that it is something of a gamble to let Jack and Mackers go at this stage? Or do I, again, like Chris says, do you trust Postecoglou that Owe will just hit the ground running?
I think you can take both stances, to be honest with you. I mean, I think we all think it's a bit strange to let go a guy who almost guarantees goals and something different to the team. Let him go for looks like a pretty kind of mediocre fee to a kind of strange kind of destination. I mean, Japan and the USA are all right, not quite a step up in terms of a jump to one of the big leagues in Europe. So we're all
it's a bit arrogant, that Mick, isn't it?
I know, but what I'm saying is that usually when you look at your average going to Germany, you go, okay, Bundesliga, fair enough. Okay, Union Berlin, not as big a club as Celtic, but good league. Whereas
Jack and Mackers can go where he likes, though. I mean, if there's a deal to be done, I think the thing, you know, the interesting point you make is about the size of the fee. You know, yeah. I think that most people, you know, seeing him go for for such very ordinary money, but you know that smells, I think, to us all of there must have been a clause within his contract which allowed him to move on for that fee, right?
Yeah, I think what it smells to me is that Postecoglou wants to chip him out, probably wherever and whenever. Whether there's been a breakdown in the relationship between the two of them, it may not just fancy him as a character. He may not really fancy the way that he plays in his team, even though I think, and we all seem to think, that Celtic played quite well with him on the side. But clearly, when the manager doesn't really fancy you, that's you gone. And if you make any noises about leaving, that's you gone. He doesn't tolerate any kind of ambiguity in the squad. But the great thing is, and Sean touched on it there, recruiting players before you sell players. This is a pretty new phenomenon for Celtic. I mean, we're used to kind of things like remember Dembele leaving at the last minute, leaving Celtic in a lurch. I think Tiernan Tierney was something similar. Yeah, Celtic recruiting before they sell these guys is pretty important. The guys in the building, ready-made replacements, whether or not they're up to the same level as these guys, we'll have to wait and see. But I think Ange Postecoglou has earned a bit of trust from the support because his record in the transfer market is pretty remarkable so far. He's not had many misses in the transfer market. So you've got to give a bit of faith that these guys he believes are going to be important players in his team and his squad. So it's interesting. And Owe arrives with a big reputation. He's only 21. But that might also mean that he's maybe slightly more content to bide his time in terms of starting every week. Whereas Jackie Mackis at 28 was desperate to start every single week. And that wasn't going to happen at Celtic.
Would it have made more sense, though, to get these deals done in the summer? Rather than now, and then that, you know, that concern over whether Owe hits the ground running, you know, because the bottom line is he will be playing second fiddle to Kyogo. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that. We know the way that Ange Postecoglou likes to play. What worries me as well is, you know, we're getting to that time of year, and we've seen sort of Ange Postecoglou complain about the pitches and Michael Beale complain about the pitches. We're getting to that time of year where, you know, the pitches do cut up and that makes the game more of a leveller. And, you know, in terms of physicality, is letting Jack and Mackers go at this time of year, and you can look at the great run that Celtic have been on, but, you know, is that just a risk too far? That, you know, it does slightly worry me. I'm not sort of doubting that further down the line that Ange Postecoglou can't that he won't turn Owe into a player, because you know they've brought him in and virtually every player under Ange Postecoglou has improved. But you know there's always the here and now and taking care of the league, and I don't think the league's over. 9 points. I mean, you know, it's a it's a big gap, but you know, he's got to play Rangers another couple of times, and who knows with the way VAR is run in Scotland and referees and this, that, and the other, what could happen? You know, with the remaining game. So, you know, I just wonder with this one, and you know, I get the point with that Giakoumakis. You know, it looked like, you know, he wanted out, and you know, I don't know whether he's been disruptive, but as I say, just from what I've seen, every time he stepped onto the field, he's always given his all. So you know, you're sort of letting go a guy who I think we'd all agree guaranteed goals. So of course it runs the risk, and if anything happens to Kyogo, then it could become an issue.
I think it's less of a risk, Chris, to be honest with you. I don't agree. I think the league's done and dusted. I mean, Celtic got a 9-point lead.
That's arrogant bollocks.
It's not, Chris, because they've lost one game in 40-odd games. They need to lose four more between now and then.
Let me tell you this. If that is the attitude, that people think that it's done and dusted, then, I mean, really?
Game of opinions, Chris.
Yeah, there's no evidence to suggest that Celtic are going to blow up. That's what happened now. They completely collapsed. There's no evidence to suggest they're going to collapse. What I'm saying about lack of risk is Celtic every summer are scrambling to put teams together for Europe, Champions League and all that stuff. I think by getting the deals done in January, it gives these guys time to get bedded in, so that by next summer, they're not scrambling for players to look for the Champions League and for to hit the ground running next season. We've seen it last January with O'Reilly, Hatate, Maeda coming in, having a real impact. And by the time the season starts, they're up and running. Okay, Europe wasn't as great this year as we'd like to hoped. But I think by getting these guys early, it gives them time to become part of the club, and it means they're going to be stronger for the start of next season.
But it's the unknown, isn't it?
I think
that's the point. And you know, what do we know? I know Juranovic, you know, looked like he was on a stag do when he played at Ibrox. But aside from that, I think he's been a brilliant servant for Celtic. Yeah, I do. I think he brought so much to the team. And the same with Giakoumakis. So therefore, these, you know, so Johnston coming in and O coming in, you know, can we think that Celtic will be better off with these players in the short term? And that is the risk.
You've moved it nicely to the defence there, speaking about Juranovic, Chris, and obviously what Michael's talking about in terms of planning ahead and getting ahead of the game with Yuki Kobayashi arriving, Maurice Jentz, who was a loan player, obviously has served his purpose, it would appear, and is now moving on. Just in the overall defensive thing, first of all, Chris, you touched on Juranovic there, you've spoken about fees in the past. First of all, were you happy that with the fee that Celtic got for Joseph Juranovic? And then can I move it on after that to what you think about the Kobayashi coming in? Are you looking at a potential, he's naturally left-sided, are you looking at a potential breakup of Starfelt and Carter Vickers? Is he back up? Is it too early to say? Just give us your overall view in the defensive situation, obviously Alistair Johnson as well. I've crammed a lot into the one thing now, but we'll start with the Juranovic fee. What do you think?
Again, you know, similar to Giakoumakis, we don't know whether there was a clause within his contract. You know, 10 million for what did he come in for? 2.5-3 million? It's in terms of you know, what he's brought to the team and the sell on. Well, you know, seven and a half million profit seems to be pretty good, but you know, that Celtic are losing a quality player. You know, Johnston has come in over a small period of games, has, you know, looked the part. I'm not so sure he is as dynamic as Juranovic, but you know, he's looked pretty comfortable. I'm not so sure sort of the way Ange Postecoglou liked to play with the inverted fullbacks. This moment in time, he looks as confident as Juranovic, you know, did do towards the end. But you know, I quite like what I've seen. But you know, as ever, we need to see him over a longer period of games. With Kobayashi, I'll tell you what is interesting about, you know, Ange Postecoglou. He doesn't mess about, does he? And in terms of Maurice Jentz, he's come, you know, Maurice Jentz has come in and I think he's been okay physically. I think that, you know, he proved himself. But I think positionally and on the ball, Ange Postecoglou, just for whatever reason, didn't fancy him. And the same with Abelgaard. You know, he makes quick decisions. If they're not good enough for him, then he moves them on. And I quite like that, the fact that he's really decisive. But, you know, what we do know is that that Celtic need, you know, at least three good centre-halves, probably four good centre-halves, because of, you know, the amount of fixtures the team will play throughout the season. I still think it will be going some to break up the Carter-Vickers-Starfelt combination, but he'll be a bit of a work in progress. And, you know, from what I've seen, he's sort of had an okay start. But again, I'm not going to get sort of carried away with him. He, you know, he's looked comfortable on the ball, you know, physically. I think that he will be, you know, he will be tested. He got sort of, you know, tested out by Kurt Dismain, didn't he? Who's, you know, puts himself about. So, you know, he'll be a work in progress. So, you know, let's just wait and see. But, you know, an okay start.
Michael, a couple of points to take from what Chris said there. Firstly, just briefly, could I say, or could I ask you, the use of the loan market is sometimes not done as well as it should be by some clubs. And having listened to Ange Postecoglou speak after the acquisition of Tomoki Iwata, who we'll get to later, also to Kobayashi, he mentioned both times that he'd been looking at them for a long time. He had clearly was aware that they were the season that they were taking part in with their clubs wasn't due to end until the end of the year. Is that smart use of the loan system? Bring Jens in rather than bringing a player in that you maybe don't really want, and you're lumbered with him for a couple of years on a contract. Quick use of the loan system and cover what we need. Jens is brought in to cover the gap until Kobayashi can be brought in January. Is that good use of the loan market? Is that the way it should be?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, it's pretty ruthless. I mean, I don't think guys come on loan should be unpacking their suitcases. I mean, Jens came in to cover for Starfield. Starfield's back. Jens got shipped out. And the long-term target is signed. I think you're seeing as well with Celtic the kind of try before you buy method. I mean, Jota and Carter-Vickers last season were brought on loan deals and then bought. I know the deals were structured slightly different from Maeda as well. So it seems to be a kind of almost like a little bit of insurance policy. I mean, Abelgaard came in potentially as backup for Callum McGregor, hasn't worked out. He'll be gone as well. Yeah, it's a smart way of working. It goes down to show that the manager, I mean, if you use players as very much commodities that can be used and then moved on as quickly as possible, if they don't, once they serve their purpose. So, yeah, it's pretty shrewd, I think, as well. I mean, Jens was a no-risk loan deal. I thought he was okay. But if you're going to sign a guy who you're looking at for a year, a long-term deal, you don't need to have a loan sign there on a wage. And it's just basically a waste of time. So, yeah, it's best to cut his ties and stick with the new guy. And Kobayashi's looked pretty good so far. He's not been tested yet, really. I mean, and Chris touched on it. I mean, I think up against Curtis Main, first 10 minutes, I think he thought, I'm up against a pool looking for a China shop here. He lost a few balls in the air, but he got to get to them fairly quickly, and he looked good in the ball.
It's almost an ideal grounding, that, Michael, isn't it? The first 10 minutes perfect. Of your career. It's sharpens you up immediately.
Yeah, it's a welcome to Scotland, isn't it? Yeah. But what I think you see with Kobayashi, he's a long term signing. I think he is the insurance policy if someone comes in and buys Carter-Vickers. I mean, if we're looking at Starfelt, I think the likely target for someone in the summer is going to be Cameron Carter-Vickers because he's been outstanding. He's coming to Celtic and teams are sure they're looking at him. I mean, he's got the lot. I mean, he's got the physique, the strength, positional sense. He's good in the ball. I think he's the one that will end up going for big money somewhere, potentially in the summer. And I think Kobayashi could be the one to step into that role. And then they buy someone else for the future. So it's a continual process of evolving.
Blimey, Mick has moved Carter-Vickers on already. You'll be moving Postecoglou on soon as well, Mick.
Well, his comments at the weekend were a bit of warning for some people, wasn't it? He was a little hint at the weekend of his own career, didn't he?
Isn't that what Ange Postecoglou has suggested, though, guys, that the situation is that people will be moved on?
Well, yeah, I mean,
you know, don't get attached to heroes. Guys will move. You know, things will change. The team will evolve. That's how it's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same with this pod, isn't it, really? You know, I've not been asked on for a while now. You know, same with you, Mick, at times. I see they bump you off as well. I think that it's, you know, from Postecoglou's, you know, all his words and his point of view, I think we all, you know, we all understand that things do change. It's good that, you know, he doesn't get too attached, you know, with players. And Celtic are... You know, they are a selling club, and you know, it's always been the way. Players who do well, eventually, you know, they will move on for more lucrative deals. You know, elsewhere we've seen it, you know, happen over the years. But you know, it's about getting the balance of winning titles in Scotland and being able to compete in European competition. And you know, I suppose from the point of view of the recruitment which Ange Postecoglou has done, there, you know, virtually every player he has brought in, I think that he has improved, and in terms of transfer fee value, you know, it's you know, these players, in terms of numbers, you know, the numbers would have gone up, which is, you know, the perfect scenario for Celtic. But you know, mustn't lose sight of the fact that that you know, the team want to compete at Champions League level, and that's the difficult balance. But it, you know, in terms of Carter Vickers, you know, I'd agree with Mick in the fact that the clubs will be looking at him, but they'll be looking at all the Celtic players. And you know, this moment in time, I think Celtic are in a pretty good place. But you know, it is one of them with the transfers of Juranovic and by the looks of it, Jack Amakis now. You know, I do think that there is a balance, and you know, it does slightly worry me whether, you know, Celtic will come out of this window and be better off or worse off. Last January, Celtic were far better off with the players who came in and really improved the team, but you can't tell me that you know, the players who have come in necessarily will be better than Jack and Makas or Juranovic. Even if they get to that, even if they're at the same level, do you know what? I'd absolutely take that. But to bring in a guaranteed goal scorer, I'm not so sure it's that easy.
Boys, you've dealt admirably with both ends of the pitch. If we could just quickly touch on the midfield. We discussed earlier that Timoki Awata had been brought in. Callum McGregor's obviously the fixture in there. There's now Aaron Moy, Rio Itati, Matt O'Reilly, David Turnbull, all in there scrapping for places. Do you think Celtic are well off in that position, Michael, now? And again, does that suggest, with Iwata's arrival, guys like Turnbull are maybe 18 months left in their contract, is that looking ahead a window again, or is it just a case of taking a good player when you can get one?
I think it's future-proofing. I think you look at Itati, O'Reilly, major assets at Celtic who eventually will go for big money. But it looks like Celtic already have the insurance policies on the books already. Because I mean, that they two, McGregor, Itati and O'Reilly are the three main men. Aaron Moy, 32, has come in and he's done far better than anyone really expected. He's been outstanding, especially since the World Cup. But those three are the main guys. But if some ridiculous bid come in the summer or even the next week, Celtic have got the bodies on the books to cover that as well already. So it's future-proofing. It's got, the only thing is, if you're losing these guys, you're losing top quality players, like Chris says, and you're effectively weakening the team in the short term. But in the long term, it might not have that big a damage as it would be in previous seasons, losing these kind of guys. And they've got it all over the pitch, by the way. They've got it in the wide areas. I mean, you think if a Abada was sold, or even a Jota, they've got guys like Haksabanovic as well.
How many players are you selling, Mick, in this window?
You just said yourself, Chris, it's a selling club. These guys,
you don't sell half the team. You can't sell all the best players. I mean, you know, you've had Carter Vickers off in the summer. Now you've got Jota off. Now you've got Abada off. Dear me.
At some point, these guys are going to be sold. Otherwise, the model doesn't work. So they have to be sold at some point, preferably for a hefty profit and a lot of money. But what they've got at the moment is they've got the replacements on the books already. Celtic are actually now in a situation where they don't need to worry about selling these guys, which is a bit of a luxury. Because in previous years, if you sell a Dembele, you sell a Tierney, you sell a Edouard, it's difficult to replace these guys.
You've got to have strength in depth. And that's the point. And why have Celtic performed so well this season? Look at Celtic's bench, and Ange Postecoglou isn't frightened to make changes. I think Celtic and Rangers have a distinct advantage. In the league against all the other teams because their squads have greater strength and depth. So Celtic's bench is so strong, and that's been pretty decisive in the run of games which Celtic have had this season. It's an incredible run. The fact that they can bring Haksabanovic off the bench. I mean, Jota sat on the bench for a period. Maidu, who's been brilliant since he's come back from the World Cup, was on the bench. In the last game. So that's the beauty. But it's about getting the balance between moving players on at the right time at the right value, but also having that strength in depth to compete for big trophies.
Chris, of the arrivals this month, obviously there could still be something else in the pipeline before the deadline, but at the moment it's four in. Three from the Asian market that Ange Postecoglou knows so well. How impressed have you been? I know you've touched on it before in your newspaper column, just to get the value for money in a market that a lot of people are a little bit reticent to get involved in. Immediately, it's shown good business sense, do you think?
Yeah, well, I think we're seeing other clubs in Scotland. Hearts are tapping into the J-League now, and I think that because of what Ange Postecoglou has done and the sort of, I think it's more the faith and the knowledge which he has had of that particular market, and the more importantly the quality of player which has come in at Celtic. I think that people are sitting up and it's opened people's eyes. So where 2 seasons ago nobody would have touched that market or wouldn't have touched that market in a great way. Now there is that confidence that these players, the Japanese players which Celtic have signed, are all technically very, very good. So, in that respect, Ange Postecoglou's knowledge and the fact that he's able to have that sort of first-hand knowledge has really helped improve this Celtic team. So and he'll be still looking to go back from the well. I reckon in the summer it'll be interesting to see if Celtic make any more moves in this window, because the one thing which has become pretty clear since Ange Postecoglou has been at Celtic is the fact that you read a lot of stuff in the newspapers, but he keeps his cards pretty close to his chest, doesn't he, Postecoglou?
He does. Michael, there's obviously two sides to every story. And as well as Ange Postecoglou knows the market, the players know Ange Postecoglou from his time at Yokohama. Does the fact that it's pretty obvious that probably the majority, if not all of the boys, of course Celtic is a huge club in its own right, but the majority of them will be coming to play because they know a manager, they know him, they know his style, they know they will be able to work with him. Is that a suggestion to you that Ange Postecoglou is here long term? That these boys are buying into a project, or are we in a different conversation there?
No, I don't think they're linked. I don't think those things are working.
Have you got Ange off as well, Mick?
Well, I must admit, it's a quote at the weekend. It jumped off the page for me. We talked about Juranovic, and he said, I've got it here. He says, I think he just wants to maximise his opportunities, to be honest, and I agree with him. That's what all of us have in our careers, a limited time, and we want to take opportunities. So that's what the manager's saying about himself. That to me jumped off the page.
So who does that relate to then? So that relates to everybody on the planet, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, exactly. I don't think he's going to jump ship anytime soon. I think he's quite comfortable with surroundings. He's got work to do. But I also think he's not quite at the stage we got to with Brendan Rodgers by the end, when he was kind of blinking in Morse code, getting me out of here. We're not at that stage yet with Ange Postecoglou. I think he's still got work to do. I think Europe is a big motivation for him, the Champions League. So I don't think Celtic fans should worry in the short term. But longer term, listen, he's, what is he, 57, 58, Ange Postecoglou. He, if an opportunity arises that he likes, then I think it would be a problem for Celtic at some point.
Well, you think he's getting on a bit, Mick, do you?
No, but listen, he said himself, you've got to make the most opportunities in life when you can.
But that relates to everybody, Mick.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So hang on a minute. So he comes out and uses that phrase which you agree relates to everybody, and you're sort of pinning him on it. So suggesting, there's something hidden in there. So for example, the Everton job has become available. Okay, yeah. Lots of managers linked with that job. Actually, I haven't heard Postecoglou's name linked with the job. I think it's Bielsa and Sean Dyche, this, that, and the other. I mean, do you see Ange Postecoglou, if he gets offered that job, do you see him jumping ship now?
Not a chance for that one, no. I think he wouldn't touch it with a barge pole. Purely because the Ange has got his own vision that he'd need to implement. It would take at Everton, it would take him about 3 years to get to where he need to be in Everton. He wouldn't get the opportunity with that board. They'd probably go down in the Championship as well. No, I think that's, he's not daft. I mean, that's a job that would, someone who's either desperate or mental would take, to be honest with you.
So you're saying all that, but look at the situation he took over at Celtic. That was a difficult job, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, but it's starting at a higher level in terms of the structure of the club is far more secure. He was given the tools and the room to do what he wants to do at the club and implement his own ideas. Would you get that at Everton? I doubt it.
Well, hang it. Well, he came in really late. I think Celtic had lost the league by 25 points.
Yeah.
Thrown straight into the Champions League. So that was pretty tough.
Yeah, I think the Everton situation is a different ballgame. The team that's heading for the Championship, it needs, the squad they've got there just now, plays the complete opposite way to the way the Postecoglou likes his team to set up. And you heard about Bielsa backing off because of that reason as well. I think Postecoglou is very much a disciple of Bielsa. So I wouldn't see him touching that one with a barge pole, to be honest with you. If an English team higher up the chain came in, then I think it would
I reckon better. They're not a big club then, mate.
I'm not a big club, but they're a big club in a terrible state.
Okay, Chris, let me put it another way. Do you believe Ange Postecoglou is here for the long, long term? Celtic?
Well, you're going to have to define what long term is. For the next 5 years, no. I don't think he'll be at Celtic in 5 years. But I also don't think that just more from the way he sort of conducts himself and the way he speaks. I don't see him. For example, if the Everton job, is there now available, I am sure he would. Who knows what the Everton owner Mashiri and the Everton board are thinking, but I'm sure he's on the radar. But I don't see Postecoglou being the type of guy who would walk away from Celtic at this time because of his, more to do with what he says in press conferences. He gets the club, his loyalty as much as anything. But I think further down the line, what we do know, and there's always a pattern with Celtic managers, Europe becomes a big burden. The Champions League does. I do feel at this moment in time that Ange Postecoglou would like a good crack at the Champions League. He was quite bullish going into the Champions League this season, and probably there would have been a large element of disappointment in the fact that Celtic couldn't, bloody one or two noses and, get a sort of victory, which, would have been a huge feather in.
But doesn't every Celtic manager hit the ceiling in the Champions League?
Yeah. And that's the point.
He says, yeah, the Ajax stuff, that kind of thing, the Bruges stuff, get involved.
Yeah, and that's the dream, and building and getting regularly into the group stages. But then the comment which Mick says, albeit I think it was a pretty general comment, we don't know what is going to be offered further down the line. Now, who knows, what's going to happen at Manchester City, in time to come. I mean, Pep seems sort of pretty happy there. Who knows, you know, at other clubs down south. But I'm sure the opportunity will become available, you know, one day for him to move down south. And it's whether it fits in and aligns with his thinking. But I don't necessarily, you know, certainly in the short term, you know, talk about, you know, let's get this season out of the way. Nothing's impossible in the summer, but I doubt very much whether he'd go in the summer, because I think they'll want another crack at the Champions League. And Celtic have got to, you know, make sure they nail down the league title first. But then who knows after that? And, you know, I think a lot will be dependent on, you know, on performances next season. But, you know, there will be an opportunity. You know, that opportunity will come for Ange Postecoglou, because I think suitors down south and across Europe would have, you know, couldn't fail to notice the change he has made, or the changes he has made at Celtic in terms of, well, recruitment, big tick, but also more importantly, style of play, and the fact that he's turned Celtic into a bit of a winning machine.
I can't let you finish this section, Chris, without you randomly picked out the words Pep and Manchester City there when you were talking about opportunities that may come up down south. Would you see Ange Postecoglou has been able to take a club like Manchester City?
We know there are links, or there were links with was it Melbourne and whatever you're mentioning there, you know, the feeder club and this, that and the other, the Sydney group, and you know, Yokohama as well, I think. So, you know, there are links there. I mean, you know, I hope I don't get misquoted to, you know, that Ange is moving to Manchester City next week. But I think, you know, the point I'm making is...
suggesting is you make that statement in the sense that Ange Postecoglou is off the standard to go and take a job like that.
That's clearly what
you're getting at.
I have you saying Ange's going to Man City.
You dropped down again, Mick. You're trying to get rid of Ange and all the Celtic players on this pod. The point being... I think that in a short space of time, Ange Postecoglou has turned a Celtic team round, and the brand of football, which is a big deal, a huge deal for, you know, a lot of most team support now in the way they play. Celtic are a very good watch on the eye. They're a winning machine at this moment in time. I think if, you know, they have a reasonable Champions League next time around, if, you know, first of almost getting there, then his reputation and his stock will sort of grow. I think if you look right down south, you look at the likes of, I mean, Steven Gerrard went down from Rangers to Aston Villa. We see Frank Lampard. I thought he did a pretty good job at Derby, went to Chelsea. I thought he did an okay job, difficult circumstances at Chelsea, went to Everton, and that's been a nightmare for, you know, not just what I call Frank, a rookie manager, a bit of a rookie manager, but, you know, high profile managers who they've had in the past, serial winners,
rookie manager, Benitez,
Marco Silva, but he was in charge of a Chelsea team which had a transfer embargo. You know, had the opportunity, but, you know, he did okay there. But the point I'm making is this, I think that your likes of Lampard and Gerrard could be viewed as slightly inexperienced. That isn't something you could level at Postecoglou. And now people have actually opened their eyes to what Postecoglou has achieved over his whole coaching career. I mean, you tell me why a big club down south wouldn't want to come in for Postecoglou. That will happen. It won't happen now, or they might come in for him, but I don't believe he'll walk away now. But that opportunity, I'm absolutely convinced, will come because of what he's achieved over the long haul.
Michael, short term, we'll finish it off for today, and thanks very much, guys. Short term, the next match for Celtic is Dundee United at Tannadice on Sunday. Happy hunting ground for them in recent times. Obviously, clinched the league title there last season, 9 goals earlier this season. What do you expect from Sunday, Michael?
I don't think it was another Ingle thriller.
not sure the United fans would have called that a thriller. Just a nine goal game.
They shared nine goals the last time. I think United have
that's like them. That's like me, you, and Chris sharing one England cap.
I think United have been improved. I think they're showing signs that they're a much better outfit than they were back to that point. When they got them at a good time, they shipped Steven to Alkmaar and they were bleeding goals all over the place. I think they have tightened up and they're a much tougher prospect. But I just can't see them having enough to even halt Celtic in any capacity. I think Celtic got far too much at the moment. They've really kicked into gear in recent weeks. They've got a fairly gentle run of fixtures. It's allowed them to kind of take the brakes off and really go for it. So I don't think they'll have any problems really. But it won't be as a
cruise. Can you not remember the last game, Mick, where Dundee United, they ran Celtic really close, a couple of goals in injury time?
Yeah, they did. They played really well. They played really well at Celtic Park, yeah. So that's what I'm saying. But I just think at the moment Celtic are really, really in a groove. I just think they'll have far too much to be too held up too much by United. But as I say, it won't be a breeze, but I think it'll be a comfortable afternoon.
See, Chris, memory lane, where it all began.
Yeah, I scored the only own goal of my career at Tannadice, but then went at the other end and scored. So, look, I've had a lot of good memories at Tannadice. What I do think is that, you know, it's a really difficult game, and Celtic are now in this period of games where, you know, Mick's calling them a gentle run of fixtures. But, you know, these are the games now, this next six or eight games, where if Celtic then have that 9-point gap going into single figure games, then, you know, it's going to be really difficult for Rangers. But I think it's a really difficult game. And it's all about sort of the mindset of the players and the mentality, and that has been there all season. But I've got, you know, I've got to say, and this isn't me being negative, I'm worried about the loss of Giakoumakis. And, you know, I hope Yung-Gyu coming in, I hope that he's a revelation. But it does worry me when the pitches are starting to cut up, and Celtic aren't going to be able to play their free-flowing stuff all the time, that just to have that different option, and it's the trust thing. It's actually sort of, I don't care what anybody else says, when Giakoumakis, you know, comes off the bench, you think he will get opportunities. And if he does get opportunities, he's that good a finisher that, you know, the goals will come. There's that belief. Think about, I think, the St Johnstone game. I don't know whether he started the game or not, but that late goal at St Johnstone, you know, I can think about many games where he's been so influential. And so it does worry me. And, to bring in a sort of work in progress, hopefully he'll hit the ground running. But, you know, he may be a development player who improves under Postecoglou's coaching in the next season and a half, and he'll probably have to play second fiddle to Kyogo. But if anything happens to Kyogo, Giakoumakis was a sure thing. And can we say the same now? And that's not being sort of having a pop at the, you know, the new boy coming in. It's just, you know, it's all about winning titles in Scotland, and albeit Mick is thinks it's all over and they should hand Celtic the title now. It's not the way it works. You know, we're hearing a lot of talk from the other side of the city and how bullish they are and how lucky Celtic are at this moment. Of course, you'd be rather be in Celtic's shoes, but it's an opportunity for Postecoglou and his team to put Rangers, or keep Rangers, firmly back in their place.
Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for your time, Michael, Chris, and thank you very much to everyone for listening.